Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
My name's James Donovan.
And we are going to get right into it. James, what is your hot take?
People who say they use referrals and word of mouth as their marketing is no way to grow a business.
Okay, I would love to dive into this because one, that's the first time I've really heard that kind of a hot take. And two, I kind of agree. It almost feels like hard-earned, really hard to earn, but really difficult to scale and lazy, I guess, approach to growing your business. So tell us more about that. Why do you think referrals are not the way to go? Because every internet guru I listen to says that's the only way to go.
Referrals are amazing, and they're a great secondary or third or fourth way to generate business. But you have zero control of referrals. You could have the best client in the world. They may send you an absolute nightmare of a client who's not in your niche, someone who doesn't actually have any money, someone who's expecting the world. So referrals, yeah, awesome. It's a great complement to what you're doing, but you're also relying on someone else to go and talk about your business and help you grow. So it's really, you're just hoping and praying, which to me, that doesn't seem like a very beneficial strategy to grow a business.
Yeah, if you think about it, I wrote down the note, you're ceding control of your growth to someone who doesn't give two shits if you grow or not.
Absolutely. So you can absolutely ask for referrals and have benefits and programs in place to get more referrals and grow, but you need to have something before that that you're in control of, like paid ads, like organic outreach, whatever that is, and then have referrals as a secondary way to grow.
So take us more into that. If I'm hearing this and I'm saying, oh my God, I have built my entire business and my entire strategy is predicated on a referral approach, what do I do next? What is the first thing I should start doing?
Run paid ads. If you've built a business on referrals, awesome. Pat yourself on the back. Think about how much bigger it could be if you were in control of bringing in opportunities instead of relying on someone else to do it. People wear referrals like this badge of honor. I've never spent a dollar on marketing. Awesome. Imagine if you started to spend money on advertising, how much larger your business would be.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, paid media is such a huge industry because it works, right? Yeah. If we didn't need paid media, then nobody would be paying literal billions of dollars for this service or this access to the public.
100%. There's a reason Facebook and Google and all of these platforms are so large. It's because of the advertising space they sell. It works. But there's this there's a stigma that people just believe, oh, I don't need to market, I'm better than that. Okay, sure. Tell yourself that.
I'm from Iowa, so I love the if you build it, they will come kind of mindset that people tend to have. You are not the field of dreams. Nobody is coming to your business simply because you built it and you put yourself out there.
Yeah. And it's, I just got off a podcast earlier and it's that kind of idea is really true when people say, well, I just built a new website, so I'm all set. Amazing. Who's going to know about your website? No one, because you don't have an audience that you're being able to put that in front of. So you could have the best content, the best website, the best everything in the world, but if your ideal clients don't know about it, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to drive any more revenue for your business.
Well, and it also feels like that's probably a pretty old school way of thinking, right? If I think back to building my first website, 15 years or whatever it was now, I could build a pretty good website. And as long as I had authoritative content, I could rank high in whatever search engine and I could show up in all of these places simply because I did a good job and I was a higher quality than everyone else. But there's so much noise in the marketplace. If I tried to do that same exact strategy now of just building high quality SEO backed content, no, it doesn't matter how good it is if you're not seeing it.
Absolutely. And a mentor of mine told me this, better known beats best. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's the person who's actually in front of your ideal audience who's going to get the business 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I had this conversation with my team of like, we could be the literal best in the world, have the most incredible technology in the world, and it literally does not matter if nobody knows we exist.
Exactly.
So I don't know about my listeners, but I feel pretty overwhelmed with paid media, particularly because I feel like it's really changed, right? Like putting out an ad in the newspaper. Well, that's pretty freaking easy. And it was back in the day. And now there's like, okay, should we do Meta ads? Should we do Google ads? Am I supposed to be advertising on Twitter? What about LinkedIn? And like, there's so many things that I could do that it's almost overwhelming paradox of choice.
Yeah. So it's thinking about who's your ideal client, where are they hanging out? How would you find a similar service to what you offer?
Yeah.
So I ask a lot of our clients, and it comes up on a lot of sales calls. We work with accounting firms. How does someone find an accounting firm to work with? Well, it's no different than someone who's looking for a plumber. If your toilet's leaking at home, you're not jumping on Facebook and sending a message and asking, does anyone happen to know of a plumber in the area who might be able to come by and fix the water leaking all over my floor? No, that's insane. But business owners do that all day long. They just hope, well, I'm on Facebook. Maybe my friends and family will send me business. Okay, that's rich. Or go to Google and make sure you're available on Google, because the next person who searches plumber near me, because I got water leaking everywhere, I'm going to pay the first person who shows up to come and fix that problem. It's the same with accounting firms. It's the same with any home service. Just think about, what do you offer? How would you find something similar? And then test that platform. See how that works for you. And then move on to the next one. But you would, unless you have an infinite budget, which majority of people don't, I wouldn't try to test everything at once with limited budget. I would essentially go all in on one, see if that works. If it doesn't, then test something else.
So I have two questions. I'm going to ask the first one. You know, like if I'm selling plumbing services, I generally know that my customers know when they need me, right? There's water leaking all over the floor. They have something wrong. They want to do a new addition. They need plumbing, right? So those are very clear, like, reasons someone would call me. But sometimes our customers might not know that they need this thing. Right. So if I, for example, for accounting, I'm married to a CPA. Right. And so we have all kinds of discussions about him being my unofficial, unpaid, unrecognized CFO, because I'm a business owner. And so I don't usually know, because he's always done that for me. I don't usually know, like, what are the things that I need when it comes to accounting? I wouldn't even know where to start. So how do you deal with customers like me, where there's a level of like education about the fact that you need that you have a problem and it needs to be solved?
For sure. So there's levels to that, right? If you're looking for a fractional CFO, you probably don't know you need a fractional CFO, but maybe you're up at night, you know, with this example, because you're making a lot of money, but every other week you're struggling to run payroll, or you're like, I'm making a lot of money, but why is it not in the bank? You're probably not going to know, oh, I need a fractional CFO. I need an advisor to come in. No, you're like, I need accounting support, because I have no idea what's going on with my money. So you're probably still going to jump on Google and look for accountant near me. You're going to want to have some conversations with people. Or you're probably spending a bit of your day on LinkedIn. And if you come across someone who's added you on LinkedIn and said, hey, Alyssa, struggling to sleep at night because you never have any money in the bank, but your business is making a ton on paper, want to have a conversation? You're probably going to respond to that person. Or if you start seeing their content on LinkedIn where they're adding value. So it's not as much about, I guess a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And how can you be visible for when those potential questions come up? It's just thinking about, what do your clients ask you? What do people ask you on sales calls? And having the answers or the content around those questions to provide value.
And putting it into a place where I am likely to hang out, right? Like, I'm on LinkedIn, so put an ad in my feed about that specific problem, because you know it's my specific problem and you know I'm likely to be there.
It doesn't need to say anything about, hi, I'm Bob, I'm a CFO and I do XYZ. Who cares? No one cares what you do, Bob.
There's a million Bob CFOs out there, right? Yeah, we don't need another one.
It's, do you, and you're labeling everything that you know your ideal client has as a problem. Do you struggle to sleep at night because you don't have enough money to run payroll? You haven't even mentioned that you run an accounting firm or you're a fractional CFO. You're just asking them a question that you know they are feeling. That's going to hit them and they're like, yep, they're speaking directly to me. I'm going to click on this ad.
Let's talk about timeline to success, though, because I've worked with a lot of people who run these marketing campaigns. I work on the research side, so I do a lot of like the content testing to figure out, okay, yes, this hits, this misses, that kind of stuff. I'm not so involved with like the actual distribution of said content. And I'm always blown away by the number of people complaining about their marketing strategies not producing easily identifiable, instantaneous results overnight. What is a realistic expectation of, you know, let's say you do this the right way. What is a realistic expectation of what kind of results you can expect to see? And is there a magic wave a wand overnight situation where I can find value right away?
The simple answer is no. And I always like to make the analogy of either for the accountants, if someone comes to you with messy books from the last 6 months, you can't just spend an hour and fix it and their books are amazing and they have a sellable business. It's right. going to take some time to fix the mess that's been made.
And you can't just start a fresh set of books and be like, you know what, we're going to pretend that
You can't just throw it out. It doesn't work like that. Or going to the gym. Just because you bought a gym membership and you have a trainer now doesn't mean you can go in for the first day, do a sit-up, and you're absolutely shredded and you're a whole new person. It's going to take some time. You have to put in the work, like training the algorithm, whatever platform you're on. And I know people hate hearing that, but that's just the way marketing works. It takes time. Sure, there's channels that you can get faster results. Do you have a full list of old leads that you can reactivate? Can you send them an email or a text with a new offer? If you don't have it, your likelihood of quick wins significantly drops off. If you're running paid ads on Facebook, it will take some time to get leads coming in. You're going to have to spend some money and optimize what you're looking for and keep changing filters to get your ideal prospects coming through. That doesn't happen with the first lead. With local service ads that we run for a lot of clients, that to me is the thing I've seen the fastest because it's all in a pay-per-call model. But even with that, unless you're open to every service that an accounting firm offers, if you're an accounting firm and you offer every service that local service ads has available, yeah, you can get a ton of inbound calls. And we've had clients get an ROI within 7 hours of it going live because they're open to every service that's available. They could basically sell anyone. But if you're more, I guess not picky, but if you're only, say, taking on business clients, well, we need to train the algorithm so that if we get personal calls, we're telling Google, hey, we don't want these types of calls. That will take some time. So 3 months, I would say at a minimum, to be very realistic. Six, though, to truly start to see things improve. But if you're not seeing some sort of traction in 3 months where you're having opportunities to close new revenue, yeah, I would look at a new channel or maybe a new marketing company. But to just think, all right, I bought marketing, now my business is going to change overnight.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it's not, unfortunately, as much as we would all love it to be like, oh, yes, I put a dollar in and I'm guaranteed $10 out tomorrow, right? That's not really how it works.
Like, if that was the case, the companies who are selling you marketing, they would start their own whatever company and just put their dollar in and get 10 spitting out or figure out how to get it to spit out 100. So especially when companies are saying, oh, yeah, if you put in a dollar, we can guarantee X amount of clients, are they selling for you? Because if they're not selling, they can't guarantee an outcome that's outside of their control. So anytime someone asks us, hey, what can you guarantee? Well, I can guarantee what we're in control of, generating you leads and booking you appointments and making sure the person shows up to the call. After that, you might not even go to the sales call we book you. So I'm not going to guarantee you anything.
Right. Once it leaves my sphere of influence, I need to lose the guarantee there. I think there's a lot of people who make promises that they have no way of potentially keeping because they, you know, want to close the deal, right? And I get that. Like, I'm a small business owner. We're always trying to get the next dollar. But I do think it comes in to be a problem when you, like, have made these promises, you've made these guarantees, and you can't deliver on them because you never could in the first place.
Yeah, 100%. It all just comes down to expectation setting. It's no different than the service you're offering to your end user. what was the level of expectation? And then when the job is done, well, did you meet the expectation? Did you meet your expectation of what you promised? And does the customer feel like the expectation was met? Because those could be two very different things.
Let's flip it to the viewpoint of the customer, the people who are interacting with these ads that you're putting out there, or the content or whatever you're creating for them to draw them in as leads. Is there any change in how customers have perceived ads? And do you see, like, how do we see ways, if there is, how do we see ways around that to make sure they continue to stay effective? And as customers kind of change their approach, because I think about like Gen Z, who seem to be allergic to sponsored posts, anything, but will buy something if their favorite influencer waves it in their face.
Yeah. So a big thing for me is just making your ads look organic. So I know on Facebook, a strategy we run, especially for our own ads for our business, we just post pictures. It could be like me and a friend who's on a vacation and there's a headline on the image. It doesn't look like a cover stock picture that's been loaded in that screams ad. It looks like an organic post that you'd see as you're scrolling through Facebook. So that's just one way to kind of blend in to some of the noise, but you have a paid ad.
And that way you guarantee that you show up in their feed, because as a victim of the almighty algorithm, there's some posts that I post that are organic content that I think are just like incredible. These are going to hit. This is going to go viral for sure. And then it's like four impressions and yep, crickets. And it's because the algorithm didn't serve it. Not because my audience wouldn't have loved it if they would have seen it, but it did not get served by the algorithmic gods. So yep, that is one of the things that honestly drives me crazy. Because it's always the post I think is going to be like the one, and then it never goes anywhere. And then the ones that I'm like, these are dumb. And then that's the one that everyone pays attention to.
Yeah. And that's, you know, important to note, kind of going back to the start of the call, that a lot of firms or business owners, they're like, well, yeah, I make posts on Facebook. Awesome. Are your ideal clients on Facebook? Do you have a system to add those individuals every single day, day in, day out? Message them so you're on their radar, and then they're going to see your stuff in your newsfeed? Or is it just your friends and family who like your page to support you, and they click on the post you made? Because that's, again, that's all well and great, but that's not driving revenue to the business. You have to be getting in front of people who actually are going to pay money for what you offer.
Yeah. And for better or for worse, the only way to put yourself in their path is to pay for the privilege. If you're going to be using a platform, which is, yep, that's how they make money, right? Like on Facebook, they make money through ads. On Google, they make money through ads. They don't make money because you're using their Google search engine. That's not how they, yeah, pay their bills.
Yeah, they couldn't care less that you are scrolling through Facebook looking at someone else's vacation pictures. It's the ads that you're buying people's attention with. That's how that works.
Right. And for better or for worse, but that is the world that we live in. So we, yep, have to make sure that we play by the rules so that we can win by the rules, because otherwise our competitors are going to win instead.
Absolutely. That's just, yeah, it's just, you want to get in front of people, you can do it with your time or you can do it with your money. What do you have more of?
And your money is probably going to be more likely to give you a semi-guaranteed result, because I can spend all the time in the world, but if Meta doesn't want to put me in the feed, I'm not going to call Zuckerberg and be like, put me in the feed.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck getting a hold of him.
Yeah, that would be pretty impressive if I could. If I did, I probably wouldn't need to worry about looking in the feed. I'd probably be plenty fine.
Yeah.
You know, thinking about all of the incredible people that you know or aspire to know, who else should we be listening to?
I'm a big fan of Alex Hormozi. I think everything he touches, everything he says, it's just gold, at least in my ears. He has very digestible content. His podcast, The Game, there's episodes anywhere from 6 minutes in length to hour and a half long seminars or talks that he's delivered. He's all about value. And he has, I think, three books published now. One just came out a couple of weeks ago. He's someone, as a business owner and on the marketing and sales side, that I would highly recommend anyone listens to if they're just looking for creative ways to generate more customers and then increase the lifetime value of those customers.
And I would love to talk about your book for a little bit, just for a moment. So you're the author of a book called Booked Solid.
Yes.
Which I like have already ordered. It's already in my on the way.
Oh, thank you so much for the support.
Well, I first of all, I love buying the books of my guests on the show because it's like, oh my God, I know this person. But also that title really intrigued me because I think that's what every single person who works in any service-based industry is concerned about is how do I become booked solid? So can you tell us a little bit more about the book? Why did you decide to write it? And give us your little micro pitch of why people should pick up this book like I did.
Yeah, so I actually have a copy in front of me here. I was chatting about this earlier on another podcast, but it is titled for accounting firms, but all the strategies inside of it are applicable across any industry, anyone B2B. The reason anyone should pick it up or read it is the strategies that we have clients who pay us thousands and thousands of dollars a month for, we've dumped all of those strategies into this book to be consumed, essentially swipe and deployed from QR codes so that they can implement these exact same things at a do it yourself strategy, I suppose. As far as being visible on Google, where are people actually going to find you for your service? How do you show up in the map versus your other competitors? If you're not showing up in the top three or four, each city or industry is a little bit different on how they show the first couple people. If you're the number after that, it doesn't matter if you're fifth or you're 500, you're not there in the top three. So how can you show up there? What are some ways to run paid ads for your industry, whether it's local service ads, Facebook ads? Those strategies are in the book. How to reach out to people and have a presence on LinkedIn with messaging templates to use. There's templates to set up your profile to showcase you as the leader. It's all in the book. I'm really excited about it. I've had some pretty cool feedback from it. And it was just cool to like really, I feel like pour all of the knowledge I've accumulated over the last 6 years of running this business into this book. And, you know, hopefully it helps a couple of people.
And I think it's important too, because like I said, I'm married to an accountant. I've spent my entire adult life making friends and building relationships with accountants. And we always make this joke to each other of like, how do you tell an introverted accountant from an extroverted accountant, right? An introvert looks at their shoes, an extrovert looks at your shoes. And so that's like our running joke with all of my accountant friends. There is a little truth to that. Sometimes they get a real fear of the things it takes to grow because it requires them to put themselves out there. It's no longer about the 10 key and doing the books. It's about building those relationships and bringing people into understanding the value that you're going to bring to them, not just the service you're going to provide. So I think that this kind of a book is really important because it's not the same as a merchandise store or a brick and mortar store in the way that you build relationships. You become one of the most important people in your customers' lives. You know everything about their money, which is the only thing that a lot of people are still weird to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for accountants to learn how to have those conversations. And I love that you've created a cheat sheet to make that happen.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you have a very intimate look into someone's life as the accountant. You know how, like, you learn a lot. You see exactly how they're spending their money, where the money's going, you know, how much they're saving, how much are they not saving. You, like, not a lot of other people who would work with that client have that inside look.
You probably know more than their spouse and their family in multiple cases.
Yeah. And that, for better or for worse, as you mentioned earlier. So yeah, the book, I think it does a great job at outlining why is this important and then how do you take immediate action on that thing. The last thing I'd want is someone to read it or like anything else. There's enough info out there in the world. Anyone can find anything they need access to. And then how do you execute on it? Because if you're just taking the info and you don't execute, to me, that's just a massive waste of time. So I tried to make it so that it's very, you can execute on it and see a positive impact, you know, hopefully as soon as possible.
And if someone is hearing this and they want to connect with you specifically, where can they find you online?
I'd say the best spot would be on LinkedIn. So James Donovan profile is based out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Or you can check us out at our website, 92media.com, NINETWOmedia.com.
Well, we will definitely be checking that out. Thank you so much, James, for coming on The Growth Signal. This was a really fascinating and important conversation.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. I really enjoyed it.